Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Let's begin by praising the Lord. Join with us singing Hosanna. Today's message is entitled, Blind Sight. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, and I'll just read some selected verses. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. And he said to him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, and he was able to see. The neighbors who had seen him before he as a beggar began to ask, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, Well, it is he. Others were saying, No, but it's someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask, How it is that he received his sight? He said to them, He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they began to again ask the blind man, What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the blind man said, He is a prophet. They answered him, You were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us, and they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven the man out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Amen. Judy's dad was a builder, and he grew up in Middle Kentucky, somewhere around Somerset. Work on the farm as a young man was really very hard, and most of the work was done by hand. While in his 20s, Bud Collier moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, and after a successful experience in the appliance business, Bud took the challenge of becoming a home builder. One home led to another, and finally he was building whole subdivisions. His boyhood memories of hard work and little pay gave him a lot of passion for his desire to succeed, and every day was a new challenge for him, and he worked with every ounce of energy he had. One afternoon, he was inspecting one of his homes, and he stepped out of the house under the driveway and stepped on a board that had a large nail protruding from it. The nail went right through his foot. Well, the doctor said the foot would heal, but he needed to take a tetanus shot to prevent infection and blindness. A few days later, Judy's dad was blind in his left eye. There was nothing that could be done. The shot was too strong for his system. With grief for the loss of the sight in one eye, but with gratitude for the other, he moved on with his life. His business grew, and often he would have 50 to 100 homes under construction at the same time. One winter, the temperatures dropped way below normal, and dozens of his homes were flooded because of bursting pipes. The homes were still under construction, and the losses, well, it was just devastating. The pressure was tremendous, and he really needed to rest, but he wouldn't take it. Then, without the slightest warning, it happened. The doctor said he wasn't sure how much damage the heart attack had done, but it had taken its toll. If you had known Bud Collier, you would have known that when the thaws came and the grass turned green, he was back in that springtime building homes. Bud had a passionate dream to live in Fort Lauderdale, on the beach. Whenever life got too complicated and the pressures of his work, well, he found a respite right down in the sound of the tropical beaches. He just loved it. Well, his dream came true. Still in his 40s, Bud and even their son Richard moved to sunny South Florida. Within the first 10 years, he was back in the building business, and this time he's building small motels and duplexes. His life was full of energy and enthusiasm for everything he did. We rarely ever thought about his partial blindness or even his heart attack, and it really didn't slow him down a bit. Well, it happened on a Sunday morning a few years later. Bud and Eva were getting ready for church, and Bud had complained about the grayness in his vision, but it cleared up and they went on to church. Not long after the worship service began, a blood clot discharged in his system and found its way to the vessels in his right eye. Now he was totally blind. Now, there's more to this story. The time of this blindness was a time of the greatest growth in his walk with Christ. There was a presence of God in the whole family. His son and his wife were very active in evangelism, and Judy and I were getting ready to go into the ministry, and Bud had taken a very active role in his church. You see, his spiritual eyes were being opened as his physical sight was lost. And I think about his life today, and I realize that my then young eyes and spirit could not really understand the grief that he had experienced. Now, I'm sure there were days that were filled with sorrow for him, but you know, I never heard him complain. Whenever our children would come to see him, he played with them like nothing was wrong. I think it was his spiritual sight that gave him the vision and the courage to play with our children that he could not see. As Jesus was walking, let's look at the text. As Jesus was walking, he saw a young man who was blind from birth. You may have forgotten, but this man is the only person in the whole Bible who was healed by Jesus who had been afflicted since birth. I hope you'll reread the story. It's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Now, we really do not know how old the man was, but we do know that he had never seen anything. He had nothing to try to remember. He had no recollection of any faces or landscapes or anything. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him to all of a sudden be able to see? Can you remember a time when you were in a dark room or something and sort of groping along the wall trying to find the light switch, and then the fear that left you when you could see? Do you remember what the disciples said when they saw the blind man? They said, "I wonder what he did wrong that God would punish him." Oh, well, it may have been his parents and that they were so bad and God punished them through him. Then some well-meaning neighbor saw him and wouldn't even believe that it was him. "No, that's not him. The guy we know is a beggar, and he always had the red and white cane with a tin cup." Guess what else happened? The Pharisees. The Pharisees said the whole thing had to be a hoax because Jesus healed the man on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and they personally knew that God wouldn't do something like that on Sunday morning. I hope you hear what I mean. Especially since there had never been any record of any blind man being healed in church or anywhere else for that matter. You see, the neighbors couldn't believe it. The priests were scared that he might be true and make them look bad because they couldn't do it. And his parents were afraid to admit it because they knew he'd be kicked out of church, or they'd be kicked out of church by the frightened priest. And the formerly blind man was confused by the whole thing. All he could say was, "All I know that I was once blind and now I see." And it was Jesus who made it happen. Now, good friends, there's so much more that's packed in these verses, but there's a couple of things that you and I need to know to understand what this gospel writer is really trying to teach us. The first thing is this. It was important that the blind man was blind at birth. The reason is because if he had been recently blinded, there would have been a way to explain it away. They could have blamed it on something the man did. It could have been God's way of punishing him. And now you and I know that God does not do things like that. But they thought that's a possibility. Another thing is that it was then Jesus who took the initiative to heal the man. The blind man did not even suspect that he'd ever be able to see. That's incredible. You see, there had never been a blind man who had been healed before in all known history, anything that we knew about. It had never happened. Well, the third thing is this, and you have to sort of read it to really catch it. The blind man first recognizes Jesus as a man, then as a good man, and then as a kind of superman. Then he calls Jesus a prophet, and finally, he recognizes Jesus as the Son of God. The Pharisees saw everything that happened, but they refused to believe anything. Isn't it strange that those who were supposed to know about faith were actually blind and refused to accept Jesus as the miracle of God? And the man who was blind is the one who saw and believed. Judy was in the hospital room when her dad died. Just before he died, he began to describe the beauty of the day and the flowers in the room. He said that he had seen Jesus and it was so beautiful. Now, those in the room were reassured by his words, and they thought he might have been sort of hallucinating because of some kind of drug. While he was talking, his son Richard came into the room. Before Richard could speak, his dad turned to him and he said, "Son, why are you here? You should be in school." Now, friends, that was a miracle. That his human sight was restored in those last few minutes was a miracle to all who experienced it. That he could see Jesus and the beauty of heaven was the evidence of the resurrection. And I assure you that's the point of this lesson. Amen.
Dear friend, there is physical sight and there is spiritual sight. I suppose most of us would say that to become physically blind would be one of life's worst tragedies. But to be spiritually blind, according to the Bible, is an eternal tragedy. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, this past Thursday, I was listening to the president of a seminary in Ukraine. He was here by permission from the president of Ukraine, actually. His being in our men's fellowship was really by accident. There are about 50 of us, and the president and his wife were just absolutely amazing. Their stories really touched our hearts. One of the critical things that he is doing with his students at the seminary is taking them to the front lines to serve communion to the soldiers on the battlefield. Some of those students have been killed while serving communion. His words were simple and powerful. Several dear friends of mine have been working with him in the seminary for the past several years and confirmed everything that he said. But the reason I'm telling you is that I was reminded that very few of us ever face a life-threatening situation while not just sharing the gospel, but actually doing the gospel. Gunfire and rockets exploding all around you, and you're serving communion. I just could hardly believe that these young men and women are risking their lives for others and for their country. Sometimes, you know, in our churches, we waste a lot of time arguing over things that really don't matter at all. One thing that is so important, I want to remind you, is that no matter what you're doing, if you're serving coffee, teaching Sunday school, or greeting people on Sunday morning, whatever it is, what you're doing is sacred. Now, while it may not be life-threatening, it could very well be life-changing. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com, or just check us out on Facebook. If you would like to support what we do, just go to our website, MethodistHourInternational.com. And I just pray that you find joy in what you do to serve the Lord. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours, and may the Lord bless you and keep you.